Welcome back, everybody. This week, Paul and I are going to get back to the basics and talk about your human life value. And are you actually insured properly? Do you have the appropriate amount of life insurance for your family? So what did we hit on in this episode, Paul?
Well, at the opening, you talked about, are you driving a Porsche and insuring a Toyota? And for most people, that's how they're treating their human life value, right? They are not insured up to their full human life value. They're grossly underinsured. And we kind of talk about, from the IVC perspective, how you can address that with a combination of whole life and term.
Yeah, and I'll just restate, because you had said something so good, and I wrote it down here. Instead of how much insurance do you need, we want everybody to be asking yourselves a question: what does my family deserve if something happens to me? So enjoy, everybody. Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. All right, Paul, I'm talking to you from across the pond. Where are you at right now?
Yeah, this is Wealth Warehouse, Germany location.
All right. Deutschland, the motherland.
Stuttgart, Germany.
All right.
Yeah, Stuttgart.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. What are you doing with some good friends and IBC clients, some of my first, actually, and really good friends of ours. So.
Nice. Always turns out that those first clients are like friends, and then they become clients. And then,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that's how it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get some clients who then become friends.
My first, I don't know, first 10 or first 15 clients.
Yeah.
So I consider them like the old OGs, I guess you would say.
Yeah. Well, good, man. It's good to have people who live in different parts of the world too. You always got somewhere to stay.
It is. It's going to be sad when they all retire from the army finally, and now we have to pay to go places like full price.
Right. At least you didn't fly Space A over there, did you?
No. In fact, those rotators go into all those different places like Rota and other bunch of other, those are all Dunsky.
Oh, really?
I was watching AFN over here one day, and I was like, oh, they're shutting all those down. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, one of those perks that we won't get to enjoy. Not that I was going to do that anyway. What a pain. No, thanks. Yeah. Well, all right, man. Well, let's jump into it. I know I guess we planned poorly and didn't get enough episodes done while you were stateside. So we gotta knock one out here, so we don't interrupt our 193-week streak of one every week.
Yeah. Well, it's good. We enjoy it, and I enjoy it. And just so everyone knows, I just drove 7 hours from Paris to Germany to record this.
All right. Good. Well, I just walked into my office and sat down to record this. So we're about the same. Well, then let's jump in, man. You know, we kind of want to bring it back to the basics today and talk about, you know, Nelson talks about, I was reading page 24 here, and at the top, at the second paragraph on page 24, becoming your own banker, Nelson's talking about a young man who's, you know, paying 35% of every dollar to interest. And he says, it should be obvious that his need for finance is much greater than his need for life insurance protection. If he would solve the need for finance through dividend paying life insurance, he would automatically have much more life insurance and recover all the interest he's now paying to someone else. So underline, he would automatically have much more life insurance. And I would say he would automatically have the appropriate amount of life insurance. And what's the appropriate amount? I mean, there's so many different views on how much insurance is the right amount. What would you say the appropriate amount of life insurance to carry is?
I think it's your full human life value, which we've discussed, but just to rehash for everybody. So let's say you're 35 years old. Multiply your current income times 30, and that is what a life insurance company will consider your human life value.
Right. Yep, it's somewhere right around there. So, and that's That's your human life value. That's what you are worth in the eyes of the life insurance companies. And they know what they're doing. They've been doing it very well for hundreds of years. So they know how much you're worth. So let's pose the question, are you driving a Porsche, but insuring it like a Toyota? Like a Toyota Camry? Like if you own a Porsche, would you get insurance on it for just $30,000 if it's a $200,000 vehicle?
Well, I can tell you what the bank would say. If you borrowed money to buy that Porsche, which most of them are financed, let's face it, you can't do that.
No, absolutely not.
If you have a note on it. Yeah. So no, of course not. You would insure it. Like I have a classic automobile, which is a numbers matching car, and I insured it for what I think it's worth in the marketplace. And that's what I insured it for. I was able to pick the dollar amount and tell the insurance company, I think it's worth X. And that's what I have it insured for.
Yeah. Right. Just like your home, you're not going to insure a $1 million home for $200,000.
That would be foolish, wouldn't it?
It would be absolutely foolish because you'd be out $800,000 should something unfortunate happen to your home. And that's the whole purpose of life insurance is to make you whole, or insurance of any kind is to make you whole.
That's right.
Yeah. So the popular notion these days with financial advisors, the financial industry, is what they call needs-based planning. How much do you need, Paul? And what they're going to do, yeah, they're going to ask you. I mean, most people I have no idea. I have
no idea.
You know, I have a policy through work for $150,000. So I'm pretty good. I'm good on life insurance. Are you? So what needs-based planning is going to do is they're going to say, hey, list all of your debts, all of the major expenses in your life, all your future goals and aspirations for your kids. You want to send them to college.
Yeah.
Do you want to pay for that? You know, do you want to pay off, your wife's student
mortgage. Loan
bills? Do you want to pay off your mortgage, all your car bills, everything? What's that dollar amount? Okay, let's make sure you have that much insurance.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's just a different mindset, isn't it, Dave? Right. I don't know who, I try to research who came up with that. And it's someone at the home office at some insurance company, you know, three generations ago, maybe came up with needs-based analysis, right? Mm-hmm. Someone who doesn't own the product that they actually work for the company that sells, they don't actually own a ton of it, right? That's who came up with needs-based analysis.
Most likely. Yeah. So what's going to happen over the course of time, when somebody gets insurance of any kind, you usually get the insurance, you put the policy in place and you say, okay, well, this is the monthly payment I got to make. And I just put it on auto pay and I don't think about it again, maybe ever. Like I'm not going to sit down and reevaluate all the different insurances I have to see if I could get a better deal every single year,
sure.
Right? I just set it and forget it. And hey, I'm covered. I'm good. I've done that piece in my financial life and I can move forward and work on other things and not think about that ever again. Well, what happens the next year? Well, your needs probably changed because maybe your lifestyle increased due to a pay raise. Maybe you sold your house and got a bigger house, more expensive house. Maybe you got a new car. Maybe you had another baby or two that came into the picture and you want to, you know, plan college for them. So your needs change year over year over year. But how many people go back and reevaluate and actually look at, okay, how much life insurance do I have in place? Okay, I'm still good. I would bet most people listening are woefully underinsured.
Yeah, I think it's probably safe to say that 99.9% of people in America are underinsured.
For sure. Because what do we use as that benchmark for how much you should have? Like you just said, it's your human life value. And if you're insured for anything less than that, you're underinsured.
Right. And when people unfamiliar with the infinite banking concept and Nelson's book, the amount of premium and whole life premium it will take to insure to your full human life value, especially if you're young, it's actually easier as you get older. So if you're starting this in your 50s, it's easier in a way. just because you're, you know, you're eventually going to stop working and, you know, whatever. The closer you get to that age, 65, it kind of, whatever. But it's going to take a tremendous amount of premium. That scares some people. But when you go back to, and we'll tie it back, but I'm trying to solve your need for finance, then it makes perfect sense. But we use, you know, we're going to use a combination of term insurance to get you there, to bridge that gap to your full human life value. And you should, right? And you should have a combination of whole life and term to do that.
Yeah. So instead of asking the question, hey, what do you need when it comes to life insurance? How about posing this question to you? What does your family deserve?
Oh man, that's brilliant.
Yeah. I just read it off the notes that you stated right before we were talking here. What does your family deserve? Do they deserve just enough to meet the needs? Like it, you know, a socialist paradise where you get exactly what you need and nothing more? Or do you want them to have more than that?
I think the planning factor should be the future is unknown. What if X happens? You know, kind of a most dangerous course of action, right? We're both military guys and that's kind of how we plan, right? You have most likely, most dangerous course of action. What is the worst case scenario? If I graduate early from this earth and leave Tammy and the kids behind, I want them to want for nothing. Right. And that's kind of the attitude. I didn't always have that attitude. I think we've evolved into that as we've practiced IBC and realized we can have our cash, we can put it in a safe place, have access to it, and have whole life insurance all at the same time and still do investing and all the things we want to do. So I don't want them to have to change how the life would have been with me, as far as at least from the financial perspective.
Right.
I want it to be the same or well, it's not going to be better without me, obviously, but you know,
obviously. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be worse financially speaking.
It's going to be bad enough.
Right.
Right. And Tammy knows, like, if I walk out, what is coming to her. Right. Yeah. So ask yourself this question, folks. If you walk out, if you're the breadwinner listening to this and you walk out, what does it look like for your family that's left behind? What does it look like that next day? Right. It's going to be sad enough.
Yeah.
And now she's thinking, or he's thinking, that $500,000 SGLI is going to last me 7 years.
Yeah. If that, I mean, if you're making, say you're an officer in the military, a junior officer, and you're making about $100,000 a year, and all you've got is that $500,000, you've given your family a 5-year runway. That's it.
That's right.
Right?
Short.
5 years. 5 years flies by real quick. Think back 5 years ago, what was happening? We were in the middle of COVID 5 years ago. Like sometimes that could seem like an eternity ago, but that was just 5 years ago. Right. You know, think about somebody you lost that's close to you. How long have they been gone? Probably a lot longer than you actually think, because it seems like a lot more recent that they were still here.
It's a blink of an eye in the course of, you know, the average American human life, which is, you know, in the 70 to 80 year range now.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years is nothing.
Yeah. Right. So human life value. So this is real simple, and you just kind of gave an equation, but I'll just say this. You can simplify this equation even more. Let's just simplify how much life insurance should I have? The appropriate answer is, what's your gross income? How many years do you plan to continue working? Multiply those two together. That's your human life value. So for example, you make $150,000 a year and you're a 45-year-old dude. And you're going to work until you're 65. Maybe you're a pilot and you're going to fly all the way up to age 65. Well, 150,000 times the 20 years remaining you have to work, that's $3 million. That's the absolute minimum that you should have. And if that's the maximum you can qualify for, that's what you should get. So is that going to go up or down over time? I mean,
well, I don't know, but if your means do increase, you should be coming back to increase maybe your whole life premium, maybe another convertible term policy. Simple as that.
Right.
Right. and reevaluate. You know, you go from, you know, the right seat to the left seat, right? Now you're captain, and your pay just went up whatever, 20%, 30%, 40%, whatever that is. You should be coming back to reevaluate your human life value and address that appropriately.
Yep, because with every step up in your income, you just now get to multiply that by how many years you have until you turn roughly 70 years old. Basically 70 minus your age.
Right. And this is interesting because we have clients that are always trying, they've got convertible term in place, and they're always trying to sneak in more premium. I've got somebody converting some term. I've got several people converting term right now, but the person I'm thinking of, who is an airline pilot actually, is sneaking in. He just got a big raise, and he's taking that, not dedicating a little bit toward lifestyle. They eliminated some debt over time. The last couple of years they've been my client, and now they are adding another policy, and it's a snap of a finger convertible term. And it's interesting to see someone like that who's eager to, hey, my means have increased, I'm going to increase my premium. I mean, right out of the gate. And we talked about that when he first went through the process. Hey, Paul, this is in the future. So it's nice to see when people follow through when it comes to fruition. It's a high level of understanding. And this person does have a high level of understanding.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that lately. Clients coming back and converting the extra term we tacked onto their whole life policy. And now converting that because, hey, I've got my wife went back to work because the kids are in school, or I'm about to upgrade, or I just put on a new rank and I need somewhere for that extra money to go. So I don't just spend it all or just throw it in the bank and let it sit there. Right. So having that room built in, you know, and this human life value number doesn't even take into account increases in income, as you alluded to, over the next few years. Like if you're in your 30s, or early 40s, your prime earning years are ahead of you. Like statistically speaking, your late 40s and your 50s are going to be the highest earning years of your life. In fact, most of you listening will probably reach the top 10% of income earners during that time in your life if you're not already there. Those are just the facts.
Yep. Yeah, you will.
Yep. So,
for sure.
You want to be in the top 10%? You know, a lot of people feel like that's out of reach. I'll never be in the top 10% because that's huge. It's actually not that big of a bar. If you Google that and see what top 10% actually is. But if you're not there yet, you likely will be if you still have your 50s in front of you. So that human life value, now realize that's all coming to you. That death benefit's coming to you income tax free. So that does help you grow into, you know, maybe if you had 5 years of, or say you had enough for your family to last 20 years, well, on your gross income. So now they can even increase their lifestyle over the next 20 years and live off the gross.
And the other thing is, right, is the policy's face amount or the value of the death benefit is going to grow every year. Every year that premium is paid, the death benefit is going to increase. So the policies can kind of, they sort of grow with you as well. You're probably going to outpace it, right? If you become, you know, very, very, very productive, you might outpace what that first set of policies you bought in your 30s is doing for you. And that's great. That's what you should be striving to do. But the policy that you bought back then is going to be the oldest policy is going to be your best one. It's going to be the most efficient.
Yeah.
So make sure it's got an appropriate level of premium right out of the gate. So you don't have to keep starting the capitalization phase over and over and over. That's going to happen naturally anyway.
Yep.
Don't be a wuss. Pay some appropriate premium relative to
you. I'm going to get that on a t-shirt.
I always wanted to say that. Don't be a wuss.
Pay the appropriate premium.
No, that's good advice, right? Like just pay the appropriate premium. And we've had countless people double their premium in 6 months. They're like, oh, well, you were right. Like, I told you.
Yeah, it's a second biggest regret.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, second biggest regret people have. The first one being, obviously, I should have started this 20 years ago. Nothing you can do about that.
Truly.
What you can do about it, though, is start with significant premium relative to your income.
Right.
That's where you can start.
And that significant premium might be $5,000. It might be $50,000. It might be $100,000. Whatever. Whatever is Right. Manageable, meaningful.
Exactly. Yep. We have a whole episode on that. Episode 93. Go back and listen to that one if you want to learn more about what the right premium amount is. This one's all about what the right death benefit amount is. So as your stock rises, as I like to say, as you get more valuable over time, which most, you know, nearly everybody listening will become more valuable over time. So as your stock rises, you need to reevaluate and make sure your life insurance has risen along with you. And if it hasn't, put some in place, which is why we always, always recommend additional convertible term. So you can always guaranteed have the ability to convert that into a whole life insurance premium and keep that death benefit forever.
Yeah. I don't think you're likely never going to meet any left behind spouse. And I think I talked about it. Oh, I can't remember what episode, but I sat next to a widow on the plane. Her husband walked out at like age 47 unexpectedly, and they did not have adequate, you know, and she, you know, she had to work. She had to work and, you know, raise the kids and who were, you know, teenagers at the time. And she looked, I mean, she was doing great, whatever, but still she was like, you know what? You were right. When we were talking about IBC, she's like, the answer should have been that when you ask someone how much death benefit they'd like to receive, if you walk out, it's as much as you could possibly get.
Yep.
And that's what the full human life value is all about. As much as you could possibly get past the underwriter.
Yep. Absolutely. No, I don't know about you. I don't want my wife when I kick the can to have to go back and join the workforce and to provide for all the kids. And I certainly don't want her going out and getting remarried anytime soon. So this is maybe it's a little selfish of me that I want to give her enough runway that she don't need no man.
Well, you're irreplaceable. I mean,
thank you. Yeah.
You know, even
things can be irreplaceable, but you still replace them.
Yeah,
just
that's
with a
true.
Maybe, you know, a lesser model. But yeah.
Yeah, it'll be completely inferior, obviously.
Yeah. But so think about it, obviously. Somebody else, you know, one client brought to my attention, he's like, you know what? My wife's not going to need just my income, but what about all the other stuff I do around here?
That you do. That's right.
That has a monetary
goes both ways
value.
Too.
Yeah, for sure, which is why I think even if your spouse is unemployed outside the home because they're running the home and raising the kids, you better have life insurance on him or her because you're going to need it if, God forbid, that ever happens. But what are the things I do around here, which is pretty much nothing, actually. I don't do a lot of yard work. The kids do that. I don't take care of my lawnmowers. Paul does that. I don't change the oil. I take him to a shop and get the oil changed. But you know, there's those intangibles that you provide just as because of what you bring to the household, the things you do. You fix the things around the house so you don't have to call a plumber every time something clogs. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, at the Airbnb we stayed in Paris, I plunged the one of the sinks was slow draining. I was like, there's a plunger right here, fixed it.
Oh yeah.
No big deal.
Makes you feel like a man, doesn't it?
It does. You know, it's like a little bit of plumbing.
Yeah. A little bit of plumbing, a little electric work without shocking yourself to death. Speaking of, I got two lights.
I know electricians generally don't. I always shut off the damn outlet.
Oh, I always do.
You know, the breaker.
I don't need that. But I've got
because I watched a guy. Total side story, but I was doing some temp work in college in the summer, and this commercial electrician was up in the drop ceiling at this building we were in, and all of a sudden I heard the loudest human scream ever.
Wow!
And then he fell off the ladder. We talked about ladders earlier. Yeah. He fell off, and I was like, and he had an entry wound. I mean, he got all the bolts.
Yeah,
like 240.
Yeah,
like yeah.
And now every time he gets close to power lines, he hears some music coming from, you know, the metal plate.
What
right
was
here.
The dude in The Great Outdoors that had been struck by lightning 66 times?
Yeah. Yeah.
66.
We just watched that movie a couple months ago with the kids.
Such a great movie. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, so stay off ladders, turn off the circuit breaker before you do electric work.
Good advice.
You heard it here first. You know, we have, you know, a linesman client, so he can tell you.
Yeah, he actually just scheduled a meeting with me.
Oh, good.
Maybe on Thursday or Wednesday or something.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, so to bring it back all the way back to IBC, just like we started this conversation, if you solve the need for financing through a series of dividend paying whole life insurance policies, you will have enough death benefit to cover not just your family's needs, but what they really deserve. So again, this is a, you know, this is about controlling the banking function in your life. But if you do that to an adequate degree, you're going to have adequate life insurance in place.
Yeah. You know, and harkens back to how we think about this. A lot of people will ask us, how much is $1 million policy, Dave?
Yeah.
How much is a $2 million policy?
And you know, when you get that question, they haven't read the book.
No. Yeah. So that's a red flag for us, but we think in terms of premium. And that's how you should be thinking. How are you going to create your own banking system paying, you know, $5,000 a year premium? You're not. You need to pay more, if possible, right? Relative to your income. And again, I've got way more death benefit than I ever would have bought from my last financial advisor. I've got way more.
Oh, like, way more. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of afraid to know how much I'd be carrying right now if it weren't for me being introduced to the infinite banking concept.
I'll tell you, before you sent me the case for IBC and I read it and then did everything that we did, I was carrying 400 of SGLI, 100 of death gratuity, whatever they call this, so 500 from the Army, and then I had 800 whole life.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I was all term, and I think I had about 1.3. I had 800K from some company, and I had 500K SGLI. I had 1.3, and I thought, my family's good, man.
Yeah, they're good.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not so much.
Nope. Now I got way more. You know, maybe there's a, maybe in a future episode, we could maybe even go through and show what we have.
Yeah. I'd be happy to do that.
What I'd like to do
I don't need anyone going behind my back and then talking to Tammy and being like, hey, you know.
Yeah. Actually, what would be cool, maybe we say, here's what all of our numbers are going to look like when we're 60 or 65.
Let's do that.
You know, and say, hey, by 65, I'm going to have this much permanent life insurance, because by then all of my term will probably have expired and fallen off my policies.
Yeah.
And I'm left with nothing but whole life insurance. That, and then I think that'd be cool. That'd be really cool to see. And then how much my kids are going to have at a certain age. So we could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, we could definitely do that. You know, and the beauty of this, you know, just to really, really simplify it, is that we're just putting money in a different location. Money we're putting somewhere else anyway. We're just putting it into whole life insurance and paying it as whole life insurance premium, which is like a saving, which is a savings vehicle without tax. And it's private. And it just so happens to have a death benefit that goes up every year.
Yep.
So, and now I'm able to do the more of the things that I want to do while not paying interest to someone else's bank. So, it's really great.
It's a good feeling.
It's brilliant.
Yep.
And it's a good feeling too. It is. It makes doing things less, I don't know, just less stressful. And it's kind of like, it's like a secret little club that only a few, you know, not that many people are a part of, real, you know, to the whole population. So.
Yeah. If you join, we'll teach you the handshake.
That's right. Secret handshake and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you waiting for? Give us a call. All right, man. Well, hey, have a good trip back. You and the family back stateside, and be safe. Good luck getting back on the time zone and acclimated and all that. But hey, you're retired. You have nothing else to do but just sleep until you recover. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Awesome. All right. Well, have fun, everybody else. Have a great week. Until next time, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.